This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Marineville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Marineville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. This message is not intended to replace for people to get to church and hearing the Word of God in person. I'd like to read today from Deuteronomy 2, verses 1 through 3 in the King James Version of the Bible. It says, Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Like many of us, they were circling around and around the same things day after day, time after time. There are some questions that you need to ask yourself, and you need to prepare yourself before you can go to the next level. Many in their marriage go around the same mountain over and over, like this scripture I just read, like Moses did, that was only a short distance from the promised land, but they kept circling over and over. I want to share with you some things that will get you unstuck and get you moving into the things of God. When we talk about families, we're usually talking about a husband and a wife and two kids and a dog, two goldfish, that sort of thing, and a one in a one-half car garage, maybe. Sometimes a family member unit is just a mother raising her children alone. Grandmothers are raising children again and never thought that they would have to ever do that ever again. If you're a single person, you're a family of one, and you need just as much vision and direction as any other family member does. If you don't get your life together, you'll have to ask someone else to come into the chaos that you've created if you ever do get married. You can never become what you don't believe. I am encouraged when I read about Jesus had to pray three times in the garden to bring his will in alignment with the Father's will. And then we had to pray so many, many times to get our alignment and our will in alignment with him. We don't wake up every morning wanting to do what God wants us to do. Every day is a challenge. I have to watch trying to get my mouth to say what I want it to say, my mind to think what I want it to think, and my desires only to desire what he wants me to have. Philippians 3:12-14 says, Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Deuteronomy, the children of Jacob went in as the family of Jacob, and over the years it became a great nation. When Israel went into Egypt, they were struggling to know who they were and whose they were, and so they struggled 400 years as slaves. All you have to do is understand slavery. It's just be a sinner. When a husband and wife comes to the altar to be married, when they walk away, they don't act like a husband. He don't. And she don't feel like a wife many times after the ceremony. We must understand that ceremonies are not magic. We have to work on them. We have to work to become what God has called us to be. I am what God says I am, and I can do what God says I can do. You have to tell yourself over and over so that you don't relapse back into the servitude and the bondage that you've escaped from. God tells Moses, You have compassed this mountain long enough. You have been going around and around Mount Seir long enough. God says, I want you to break this cycle in your life. God still speaks to families and says, You have argued about that long enough. If you're still living the same life that you were living 5 years ago, you are still circling the same mountain. You told yourself 5 years ago you're going to do something different, but you're still circling the same mountain. If you and your spouse is still having the same disagreements about the same things you disagreed on 2 to 3 years ago, you're still circling around the same mountain. Are you satisfied with the way things are going? Go to work, go to church, go home, go to work, go to church, go home. Isn't it about time that you got over into the promised land, the abundant life? You need to refuse to have the same problem you had 10 years ago. There was a time in my life when 8 times 8 was hard, but now it's easy for me to figure that one out. It was supposed to be hard at the age I was learning it, but now it's supposed to be easy. If you're still having the same test that you were having 5 years ago, you're not developing. You need a word from God to help you to cross over and go to the next level in your life. I want to go from just getting by to get into the overflow the scriptures talk like that I should have. If you're blessed, you'll suffer persecutions. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you stand to hear people murmur about you? If people are talking about you like a dog, it won't bother you because you broke the cycle. The family or church is better when everyone understands that we are better when we get along, and a family or church understands that everyone has a role. You don't have to be poor to be poor in your relationship. There's a lot of wealthy people that's poor in their relationships if they don't support one another. There are 3 questions you need to be asking yourself to get your mind ready for what God is about to do. And I want to shake and stir you up and get you out of the rut of poor thinking and poor believing and low expectations about the future. Because you're not going to live any better than what you expect. If you expect to argue about the same things in the next 10 years, you will. Someone has to stop the madness. The 3 questions you need to ask yourself is, when has the past had enough of your attention? The 2nd question, who will make this decision to move forward? Is it not going to be you? 3, how do we break the cycle of repetitious living? You must understand that whatever you're giving your attention to, you're giving your energy to. You're keeping your past alive by talking about it, rehearsing it, bringing it up over and over again. Your past is not holding you, but you're holding it. You need to let your past go so that you can bury it and let it be at rest. Let it rest in peace. You hold your past by your mouth and by your thoughts and by your conversation. You won't let it die. You won't let yourself get over it. Like a dog that just goes around and around chasing its tail. I just wonder, have you been going around and around, barking about something that's already went by? Are you still arguing about what happened last year? You can greatly hinder your progress when you cannot move past what has happened. Everything in your life just goes back to who hurt you. Some people that have been hurt in the past let everything offend them. I don't want to go back to my past. I need somebody to take me somewhere that I've never been, to places, to spiritual places I've never experienced. A lot of times we sabotage our own success because we allow ourselves to be defined by who we are and who we were, and we refuse opportunity to become who we could be. I know this is hard, but chew it until you can swallow it, because it's the truth. It's hard to move on when your leader is still living with hurts that's been in their past. Many times when a parent has been hurt, they infect the child with the very same thing that has plagued them for years. The enemy don't have to attack the whole family. If they can just affect the leader, they limit the whole family. If the husband is blind, the enemy can get a 2-for-1 because he'll have the wife blinded too. If you're the leader of any family or a church, you're on the hit list, on Satan's hit list. If you are a leader, you affect everyone connected to you. If you're a leader, you need to pray, God, give me a fresh revelation, a fresh direction, a fresh anointing to get me moving in the right direction. If we're going to break the cycle, there are some things we have to bury and be done with it. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Did you come to church to get better, to get healed, or did you come for a social event? I can't help you with your wife and not be speaking to mine. I don't want to just look free, and I just don't want to just act free. I want to be free. When you get older, there are certain things that you're not willing to live with that you were willing to live with when you were younger. I'm not coming to church because I don't have anything else to do. I want to break every yoke and every bondage and everything that's limited to me. You have to have a single eye, because whatever your eyes are looking at, that's in your driving, that's the way the car is going to go, and the same with your life. If you want to know the direction you're looking, monitor your speech. Your mouth tells what your heart sees. Listen to what you talk about. What are you in a dither about? Because whatever you're upset about is the poison that's stopping you from being what you could be. Who will make the decision to move forward? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be a failure. I want to be a crackhead, dysfunctional, full of hate that will drive everyone who loves me away. When you get stuck in going around in circles around the same mountain, sometimes the decision of moving forward gets stuck in who's right and who's going to get the last word in. Many times the victory gets lost in the contest. Leadership is the ability to guide, direct, or influence people and get them unstuck and keep them from going around the same mountain over and over. If you have influence over anyone, you are a leader. The greater your influence, the greater your leadership. God extends your leadership by extending your influence. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You can't get people to respect you if you don't respect yourself and your own decisions. If you have to stand up and bang on the pulpit and say, I'm the pastor of this church, you're probably not. And the day you have to stand up in your family and say, I'm the head of this house, then you probably not. Because when you really are, you don't have to say it. Everyone there knows that you are. The enemy's after your influence, and one of the quickest ways for him to destroy your influence is just let you do it. You have to get the divine order back into the house and understand what God has in mind when he designed and set up the family unit and the church unit. We need structure, but we can't wait until a person moves into their rightful place before we assume our role. Nobody has the courage to measure the progress to tell that we're not getting anywhere. You have to work within the system while correcting it. How do we break the cycle of repetitious living? We're not compassionate about Mount Seir, but we're compassionate about other mountains in our life. Break the cycle. Break the curse. You'd be shocked at the people that's listening to this, trapped by the same mountain, can't get over it, so they just keep going around and around it. The problem is you don't have purpose, and in the absence of purpose, you get distracted with toys and games, get tied up with all kinds of problems. You need purpose in your life, and your children need purpose. You need the desire to go somewhere you've never been, to see something you've never seen, so that you could be something you've never been. People who wake up every morning with purpose do great things. You lose your purpose when you wake up in the morning with nowhere to go and nothing to do. You can never become what you don't believe. We need skills to navigate through some of the treacherous waters of life. Sometimes we behave, think, or act because of some experience we already had. One of the things we know about life is that it's always changing. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes things go real well, and sometimes they don't. You will never have everything on an even keel all the time. That is just a thing called life. It's like a wagon wheel. There are down moments, but that's where the growth takes place. When everything is growing right and the bills are paid and the kids are acting right, anybody can have faith and be positive in those times. Somebody said, adversity introduces a man to himself. When you get stuck, evaluate the situation. Evaluate yourself. What brought you here? What did you learn from it? Are you doing it over and over again? And then insanity is doing the same thing in the same way, but expecting a different result. Are you going through it or are you growing through it? Earl Nightingale said, all of us are self-made, but only the successful will admit it. Until you learn to handle it with grace, it will just keep staring you in the face. One thing, the thing called revenge, will get you stuck in a hurry. People who've gone through a divorce were burned so badly that they took the pain and they took the bitterness and revenge to everything else they did. People bitter love to tell their stories. Not many people want to hear their stories because they have their own stories. And you know, one thing that people that's bitter, they'll say it just isn't fair. Well, life isn't fair. It is unfair because birds have to eat worms. That don't seem fair to me, but they just do. That's just life. Some people get stuck in feeling sorry for themselves. How long are you going to tell everybody, repeat it at the bus stop or wherever we listen to you, reliving it, same things over and over? You don't need to go around telling everybody your story, your sad story, because everybody else has got their own story. And besides that, 80% of the people I heard don't care if you got a problem, and the other 80%, other 20% are right tickled about it. So that really doesn't leave anybody to tell it to. Decide to let it go. Make a declaration to yourself and declare all-out war on the situation that you're going to get out of it. Help somebody and help yourself, because what you give is what you get. We need to activate the thinker within us and discipline our emotions. Our mind is like a garden. Weeds don't need any encouragement to grow. Expect things to get better for you. I think it says hundreds of times in the Bible, this too shall pass. Too many people are making permanent decisions about temporary situations. We need to take full responsibility for our own life. Until we do, we won't see very much change. We have two choices in life. We can accept the things that are the way they are, or we can take responsibility to change them. A lot of people exempt themselves from taking responsibility. All they really want to do is talk about the problem. Every time you see them, they will tell you their story over and over and over again, going around the same mountain. There are people who look for conditions to happen and some that make their own circumstances. It might be a good idea just to write a description of the person that you want to be. Let it go so that you can grow. Sometimes things will catch you on the blind side that you didn't expect. Getting unstuck means living your lives on your terms and not just gliding through on automatic, accepting what's given to you. Sometimes life will take you to your knees. Proverbs 6:5 said, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. You know, a spider, I've been told, has a web that's sticky, and other insects get stuck to it, but it's not stuck itself. And the reason is because it secretes an oil all over its body that prevents it from getting stuck. It's not stuck because it is anointed. So just be anointed then, and you won't get stuck. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Have you ever had that helpless feeling of being stuck when everyone else was going around you and you couldn't go anywhere, like when you had car trouble? The mouse wants the cheese, but once it gets stuck in the trap, it says, you keep the cheese and just let me out of the trap. But it's too late. The bird gets trapped in the net, and the song goes from him. It's terrible being stuck on the side of the road and watching everyone go by. Some people have found that they have cancer or had a heart attack, and they're stuck. Beg God to help you look at your salvation, your marriage, your job in a fresh new way. Don't lose that song in your heart, the twinkle in your eye, the pep in the spring in your step, a smile on your face. If a caged bird can sing, if an inmate can sing, if the elderly can sing, why can't you sing? They say that some animals stuck in a trap will gnaw their foot off to get out. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get out of the trap you're in? I remember one man in history said, give me liberty or give me death. My prayer today is I've enjoyed giving this to you, and my prayer is that we can all make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here the next time at the same time. My prayer to God is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410. That's 4410. Or email Dale Cantrell 2. That's DaleCantrell, the number 2, all lowercase, at gmail.com. Marineville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Marineville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Marineville area but would still be interested in attending a service next near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I'll give you the nearest church location closest to where you're at. If you'd like to just come visit us, and if you want to stay through the singing and then need to leave, we won't feel bad at you at all. We will try to make you feel as welcome as we know how. Marineville Holiness Church has services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening at 5 p.m. May God wonderfully bless you, is my prayer.